Okay, so we're going to start. We're actually going to skip a piece. We might go back to it. I'm not sure. We'll skip a piece to Ahava Rabba Ahava Tanu. For two reasons. One is that it's a little bit of a longer piece, and I think if we go in order, we're going to end up getting stuck in the middle of this piece and have to stop because of the time. So I figure we'll do this piece. Second of all, it relates to the Mishkan. So since we just finished Vayakal Pkudei, we figure that we'll take care. You know, we'll we masmich it. Okay, one second. We're just trying to get the video here. Looking for the mute.
I'm looking to actually
get the video
off.
Okay, we're good. Nope.
Nope. Karen, I'll figure it out.
Okay. All right, so let's start. Ava Rabba Avtanu, and Hashem loves us with a tremendous love. B'tlamedem chukei chayim, and you teach us laws of life. Kein techaneinu uslamedeinu, and so too you should have compassion and on us and teach us. So, oh, here we go. We got the camera. So, Matzino Shiniskasha Moshe b'Maisa HaMenorah. So, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, we find, right? Chazal teach us the Gemara Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with making the menorah. He didn't know how to do it. Acha, right? It's a very complicated thing. You have to make the menorah with all its intricate details out of one block of gold. You know, not putting it into parts. It has to be just out of one solid piece. So he had difficulties with this until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu just did it on his own. That's the Gemara Menachos, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. Zeis Va'od. We also find Al Mitzvah Hadlakas and Neiris Abru, about the mitzvah of lighting the Neiris in the Mishkan or the Mikdash, it says. V'chi La'ayra Hu Tzarech, the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis asks, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the light? You know, it's the house of God. He needs light. You need to light up his house for him. It's just the idea of the light of the menorah is actually just a testimony to all the people of the world that the Shekhinah resides in Klal Yisrael. The Hashem's presence resides amongst the Jewish people. Nimtza she'inyin ha-menorah So that comes out that the inyan of the menorah is actually just a sign. It's to show the tremendous love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his holy people. Similar to the inyan of Birkas Kainim, where it says, Yo'ir Hashem Ponav Eilecha, right? Hashem will illuminate his face to you, the Goymer. Yisa, shine his face to you. Yisa Hashem Ponav Elecha, he'll, you know, turn or raise his face, same thing, like look to you, which, you know, the Gemara then asks, or the Seb brings that, the Goyim will ask, what is there, Nasius Panim? Because Baruch Hu, like, takes bribery, plays favoritism, Stam. So, that's the same inyan, the Menorah and Birkas Kainim both share this common denominator, that they are expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael. Inyanim shel shar klei hamikdash, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, the inyan of the other kelim of the mikdash, the shulchan, the mizbeach, the aron, lahayres al chibasem shel Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim, is the opposite. The other kelim of the mikdash are coming to show the love of Klal Yisrael to their father in heaven, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a distinct difference between the menorah and everything else.
Any makaris of
it? He doesn't. I don't know. I don't know what to say as far as sources go. But we'll see. You'll see how he explains it, and you'll get a little bit. It's almost like it sounds like he's learning it up. Mitoich this sugya itself. This is the question that he's dealing with himself. We'll see. So he says like this: Ava ba'olam ha'havai la'olam yesh la'siba. Any love in the world always has some kind of cause to that love. There's something behind that love. Afilu ha'ava l'shem yizbarach. Even the love that we have to Hashem, he mipnei shu yetzer akol l'bayre olam umlayai, stems from the fact that he is the creator of everything. He created the world and everything in it, and thus we have, you know, gratitude and feelings of love to him for all that he's done. Obedinu shiyayavu oisai. Right, it follows suit that it is appropriate, being that he created everything, that people should love him. This is not true of HaKadosh Baruch, of the love of Hashem towards us. The love that Hashem has no cause to it. Right, Hashem is the cause of everything, so his love also doesn't have a cause to it. Kigam im nitzdak maniten lo. Because even if we, you know, are righteous, what could we possibly give him? There's nothing that we can ever give Hashem, and therefore there's nothing that can, you know, be the cause of his love towards us. Ahavase eleinu ein lo siba. Hashem's love to us has no siba, it has no cause. El shekach hu ritzoinai. Except that this is his will, v'kach poyelhu, and this is the way he works. Haloi ach esav liyakov ve'oyav es yakov es esiv son esi. Right, the famous pasuk we brought a number of times, that Esav is a brother to Yaakov, meaning they're the same, externally at least they're the same, and even we've spread in the past from different sources. Right, perhaps in actions they look the same. Unfortunately, not supposed to, but perhaps sometimes yes. The oyev is Yaakov, but still I love Yaakov, and Esav I hate. The pasuk in Malachi, Ahavasam shel Yisrael lekutcha berichu, gam im tagia l'si'ah. The love of the Jewish people to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, even if it reaches its height, ein lo erech ka'avas Hakadosh Baruch Hu aleinu. It still is nothing compared to the level of the love of Hakadosh Baruch Hu to us. Ahavaseinu im kol godla amka v'rachva. Our love, with all its greatness, depth, and width, ba'alat gvulhi, it's still limited. V'ilu ahavasei eleinu, whereas his love to us, he built the gvulit, is unlimited. Right? It's unlimited just by virtue of the fact that, first, obviously, he is the infinite one, and there's nothing causing anything. There's nothing we can give him, and Mamela, that love is just a rotzayn of Hashem, which is obviously the unlimited will of Hashem. There's nothing, when something doesn't have any cause, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Muchrach HaMetzius, right? That there's nothing causing his Metzius, but rather he is the Hechreach HaMetzius. He is the ultimate being. There's nothing behind it. So the same thing, Kiviyachol, his love has nothing causing that love. So it's an endless, unlimited, unbound love that he has for us. Nimtza. So it comes out, She'en b'yocholteinu l'harich es nifloes avose. We don't have the capacity to evaluate the awesomeness, the wonders of his love. We can't grasp the tremendous love that he has, because it's a love that we don't have. It doesn't exist by us, such a love. Therefore, the Maisa Menoira, whose whole essence is in order to show the love of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, right? A testimony to the love of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, no human being was able to make the Menoira. She'arei tzarech laniach b'maisa Menoira hachshara la'ota chiba elyona. Because you need to be able to be put, he needed to be able to put into that, the making of the menorah, a preparation for such a tremendous, higher, and infinite love, which is beyond any ability of human thought or speech. Al Kain gam Moshe nisgashaba. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was also a human being. He also had difficulty with making the menorah. So it had to be that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, b'chvayd v'atzmai, is the one that made the menorah. It's actually very fascinating because I don't know really, I'm not familiar so much with the sort. I don't know if I've seen another a reason why it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was, made the menorah and no one else. So it's very beautiful because he's using the essence, what Chazal tell us, the essence of the menorah is to be Maidia the Chiba, that he resides in Klal Yisrael. That explains it. That explains it. Because his Ava is beyond anything that we can relate to, and thus we can't build a vessel to express such a love. The menorah is a vessel that has to express that love. We can't, no human being can do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has to do that. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Havos. Yeah, what?
To clarify, we're saying Hashem, the love of Hashem, we can't be masi. The key point here is that it's an Ava She'ena Tuluya Bedova.
It's an Ava She'ena Betuluya Bedova, but it's not just, in other words, there is this concept of Ava She'ena Tuluya Bedova by human beings as well, as Chazal tell us, right? The Ava of Yonason, David and Yonason. So it goes beyond the fact that it's Eina Tuluya Bedova, it's because it has no Siba. Tluy B'davar doesn't necessarily, any Tluy B'davar doesn't mean that it has no Siba. It could be that you appreciate each other as human beings and develop a love for each other because of the greatness of the kindness that you see in the other person, the greatness of the other person. But here there's no Siba at all. It's beyond any Tluy B'davar. Okay. Ahavose habilti gvulish alakadosh baruch eleinu, the endless, limitless love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us, kivu'ahi v'lo chalim ba shinuyim chalila. It is permanent, it is set, and it never chalila can have any changes in it. Ani Hashem lo yishanisi, I am Hashem, I never change. Pasuk Malachi. Gam kishisrael kada'im li'ahav azu, v'gam kishainam kada'im la, both when the Jewish people are worthy of this love and also when they are not worthy of it. That love remains in all its strength, in all its intensity. Because even when the Jewish people are worthy of this love, it's impossible that they can be worthy of such a huge love. Again, because whatever we're going to be worthy, it's always still within some kind of level of gvul. It's always within some kind of, because a human being is automatically finite. So if that would be, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibayachal loved us only at the measure of what we were worthy of, then that would all like fall back into the category of like a limited love. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is irrelevant. It's irrespective of whether we are worthy or not worthy. It's coming way more intense, way stronger than that gvuli type love. This is an infinite love. So Mamela, that's it. There's nothing to do with, even if we are worthy, we're doing great, we're in our high prime spiritually, it's still not worthy of the Ava, which is coming before everything. Kach gam, so too, also. In b'chol ha'dvarim motzim anu shinuyim v'chilufei matzim. If in everything we find changes and changing of situations, pa'amim b'chinot shel aliyah l'shem aliyah, pa'amim shel yiridah tzorech aliyah, sometimes we find aspects of elevation for the purpose of elevation, and sometimes we find the idea of descent for the purpose of elevation, right? Sometimes you need to go down in order to go up. By the menorah, there is no concept like that. The aspect of the menorah is always an aspect of aliyah. To bring up the ner tamid. When you bring up, right, the lashon used, the term used for lighting by the menorah is to bring up, to elevate, it's to show us that the menorah is through and through all about going higher and higher. Aliyah, elevation. La'olam ein tzorech, there's never a need. It is never necessary that the revelations of Aliyah, the revelations of going higher, that we find that come through in the menorah, it is never necessary for them to come through an aspect of descent for the purpose of elevation. Zeu she'amru, this is what they said, the deeper meaning right behind what Chazal said. Vayas kein Aaron, and Aaron did so. Lahagid shivcha shel Aaron shelo yishino. Rashi brings down on Chumash, right, to tell us the praise of Aaron that he didn't change. Right, vayas kein, he never changed. Lemar meaning, right, the pasha pshat obviously is that he always did it with the same diktuk, and he always did it with the same islavus, right. So that's very very chashuv. Right, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, "Leimar, it's to tell us more than that." Shelo yhoyel boizman shel nefil of yerida, vayas kein Aaron is going on the lahalois ner tamid. It was always ba'aliyah. He never changed from the aliyah aspect. He never changed from the growth, the going higher. So, meaning, there was never a time of falling and descent. Where the hadlaka would be in the bechina of going down in order to go up. It was always in an aspect of godless, bechina shel aliyah, the aspect of going higher. Like the giving off of light, the menorah itself, which is from that aspect of I am Hashem that's never, I never change. Right, because it's coming from an ava that's without cause, like we said. It's an ava bilti gvulis. And Aaron, that's an unbelievable madrega of Aaron HaKohen, that he was able to kind of act like that in his kiyum of the mitzvah. He was able to tap into that aliyah tmidis, right? That continuous going higher and higher, where he never fell into this type of a nefila or yerida for the purpose of Aliyah. You know, just remind, I don't know, as I'm saying this, it reminds me that Rav Hutner Zatzal said about Rav Kook, he spent a lot of time with Rav Kook when he was a Bacher, age of 19 I think, and I don't know how many years, whatever, but so he said that Rav Hutner was also, he was I don't want to say the names now, but he was close to a bunch of Gedolei Yisrael, and he was by a lot of Gedolei Yisrael. And he said about Rav Kook in his older age, he said, I knew many, I saw many Gedolei Yisrael. By every Gadol, there was always times also, you know, of godless, but there was times of katnus. You know, they had some moments of where they weren't in there, moichin the godless. So the only person I never saw out of a massive of godless, I never saw katnus by Rav Kook. He was always with Moichad the godless. That's what Rav Hutner said. Maybe he was a Kohen. He was the kind that Shaleshina. He had the genes of Aaron HaKohen. Certainly was the Ayur Shalom and Raidu Shalom like Aaron HaKohen. So maybe this also.
What's the Shaleshina? There's no moods?
Right. There's no moods. There's no need to like chill out a little. There's no natural tendency, you know. Very often, this is, for example, this is l'maisa, the way this world really works is a matzav of that. In order to go higher, we need to go down. That's the natural order of the world. That's why Kosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's such a matzav of shvira sakelim, misas hamlachim, a Kabbalistic idea of like the breakage. And then the rectification, where he rectified the world. And that's because, when the Navi gets a higher level, when the Navi gets Nevuah, which is going to a higher level, he has to go through clouds, which is a certain aspect of descent, where things are blurry, where he's not seeing clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the natural order of things, is that generally speaking, in order to intensify our connection with Hashem, we have to experience a little bit of distance, a little bit of weakening before that. And that propels us to go further. We get propelled to go further when we feel like, oh, wait, I'm I'm not as good now. I need to work harder. I need to grow higher. That's the natural order. But in the menorah, and in the avoid of the menorah that Aaron did, there was none of that. This was already stemming from, you know, if you want to say it like the milamala lamata. All the other kelim, like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe say, come from the mimata lamala. So like even in Torah, maybe the Aaron, whatever, yeah. You need to have those moments of, you know, it's just a part of the world. You need the moments of rest. Your mind is, you know. But the menorah, which is coming to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards us, His love towards us, which we said is infinite and limitless and has absolutely no cause to it, it has to have this as part of its avodah. Also has to have this idea and this aura of Aliyah without any Yerida. Okay.
Also, he's extrapolated from beginning the paragraph with Ava, which is Biltikvul, to basically say that everything is Biltikvul, right?
Well, everything as
idea, that's not Ava. It's a new idea.
Yeah, it's everything as per the menorah. I don't know if he means, you know, again, when it says the Shivcha Shel Anshel Hashina, it's talking about the menorah. I don't know if it means in all other aspects of the avoda.
The avoda menorah.
Yeah. Well, because the menorah is its mahus is that it expresses that Ava. So in all aspects of the avoda of the menorah, it has to have that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Weiter. Ba'oimek chefetz Hashem, in the depth of the desire of Hashem, she'oy zahavos Yisrael hiloy gvul umida, that the strength, the intensity of His love to the Jewish people is without any limit and measure. Avos chinam, it's like this, you know, uncaused love. Ahava rab of avos oilam, a tremendous love and an everlasting love. I've seen other things, but except, you know, Pasha Pshat, it seems to be like Ava Rabo is like Echos and Avas Olam is Kamos. You know, it's like it's Ava Rabo is the intensity of the love, and Avas Olam is that it goes forever. Gonuz ve'kolol ba'avazu is what's concealed and included in this love. She Yisrael ru'uyim l'mashin oisim lem. Now this is already another step. Included in this love is that the Jewish people should be worthy of what they're giving to them, what He's giving to them. Even though He'll give to them, even if they're not worthy. Because again, it's got to be without any cause. It's an avas chinam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. But within the love itself is concealed the idea that the Jewish people are inherently worthy of this love, or it's appropriate for them. Why? Because all the nations and their ministers, like we brought down earlier, they prosecute, right? They taina, they have a claim that, wait a minute, this is an unfair love. It's an avas chinam. They're not worthy of this love. Shalai betzedek yisayda. It's not based in justice. Kilama yisa Hashem panim liYisrael. Why should Hashem favor the Jewish people? Zutanasim shel Amalek. This was the taina of Amalek. This was the claim of Amalek. Shebeglola nitzdavu Yisrael ilachim baAmalek. Which because of this taina of Amalek, Klal Yisrael was commanded to wage war against Amalek. V'leharot, and to show shedafka hem ruuyim lebracha v'leacherim zulosam, that it's dafka Klal Yisrael that are worthy of bracha and no others. Gam sorry shel Esav nevakim Yaakov, and the angel of Esav, right, the ministering angel of Esav also fought with Yaakov. At shehoyde lo yala brachas, until the sire of Esav, like Chazal say, gave in, he conceded to the brachas. What does it mean that he conceded that the brachas really belong to Yaakov? Is that he realized that, yeah, Yaakov is the one that's worthy of the brachas, no one else. And says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, so too it will be in the future. The nations of the world that will concede and admit to the great, they will admit to the greatness of the Jewish people. Ashayu efer tachas ragli atzadikim, that they will be those nations. They will be like dust at the feet, or ashes at the feet of the tzadikim. Yelchu v'yomru, they will go and say, lechu v'nal el har Hashem v'goymer, let's go up to the mountain of Hashem. V'yareinu midrachav v'nelchu berchosav, that should teach us from His ways and will go in His paths. Ki mitzion teitzei seiro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, because the Torah goes out from Tzion and the dvar Hashem goes out from Yerushalayim. V'goymer, v'yis yakav lechu v'nelchu bar Hashem, let's go in the Arvim. So the old goyim are going to realize that if they want to know how to live properly and how to live the good life, which means being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to turn to us. They're going to say, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, let's go to learn from the Jewish people. That's going to be, that's like the Pesukim are saying, that's their consent. That's where they are following in the footsteps of the Sar Shel Esav, that's Moide on the goddess of Klal Yisrael. So that's the Ava Rabba Haftano. Right? All this was to explain the Ava Rabba Haftano, the tremendous love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'talamdim chukei chayim. So it ends off with that they're going to, the goyim are also going to want to learn, they're going to realize they're going to have to learn from us. But it's a very, very chashuv ha'ara, I think, b'chlal, to pay attention to the idea that the menorah is just, it's really just the pasha part of, pasha pshat of Chazal, right? L'hidia chibosin shal Yisrael. But the way Rebecca Moshe takes it over here is fascinating, that that's why only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to make the menorah. Moshe was Niskasha, because this kind of love, there's no human being that can possibly, you know, make a kli for. It's impossible. So only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that. It's a meridic love. It's also something, it's an important thing. You know, you have to remember that the Torah tells us, right, that they, you know, these ideas of, you know, sinas Hashem oisan, like, There's possibilities of coming to Chas Hashem, terrible thoughts, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us. You know, how could there be such tzaras and the Holocaust? And, you know, people come to those ideas of that there's such sinna. And again, that those are not kashas, those are emotions, right? They're emotional feelings. But it's very, very important to always remember and stress to ourselves and to others that the Ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so phenomenally unconditional. There's no unconditional love like it. It's like way beyond, so that no matter what level the person is on, he shouldn't, and no matter how terrible he is, and no matter how terrible the things he's done, he should never feel like he's worthless and whatever it is, because even at that state of being the most terrible person that he is, or she is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them, because they're part of Klal Yisrael. They're part of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is just beyond, it's completely, completely, completely unconditional. And sometimes, very often, maybe always, when we do feel that, you know, what happens, usually, kids, teenagers, and whatever, that have difficulties, you know, if they have a good relationship with their parents, at some point, if they feel that unconditional of their parents, usually I don't want to say there's never a klalim for everything and, you know, whatever, but usually they'll come through in the end, and because they know, you know, that it hurts the parents, and they know that their parents want to see them in a good state, in a good matzav. I've seen it many times where, you know, kids go through a very difficult time for a number of years or whatever it is, and then they come back because. And that's part of the instructions that are given usually nowadays, is, you know, like, that it's very important that the parents just show that unconditional love, because that unconditional love makes, when a person feels unconditional love from someone else, and they want to also please them, it's natural, they want to please them, they want to be worthy of that love. So if we realize that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has unconditional love to us, that actually helps elevate us, and it's almost paradoxical, right? Because it's like, well, he's going to love me anyways, I'll go do whatever I want. No. That's the psychology. The psychology is that he loves me so much, you know, I want to please him. That's the way it works. This is a very good bracha, very chashuva bracha.
I have two questions.
Two questions, yes.
Firstly, why are we so concerned about Amalek's claim? If it's possible to say that Haloi Ach Esav Liyakov, Mm. You say to him, well, yes. Sorry. That's the way Hashem made one.
Right, it's almost a kasha on the etzem inyan, stam kacha, right? Like, why is, you know, Esav is coming? Oh no, you're saying say, right? So Esav is coming to say that that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is playing favorites. What is it? That's Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is explaining that he's playing favorites. Right? Lama Yisrael Shempanam
Yisrael. It's not fair.
It's not fair. Oh, so. So your answer is, what do you mean? Halayach is Laviyakov, Vayavis Yaakov is Esav Stanesi, and that's ultimately we're saying that that's true. That's like an inherent thing that even when they're not worthy. But that's again, that's the second step that he adds over here. And it's, I don't know 100% myself how to explain these two levels. I've seen it many times in other Sfarim as well. There are like these two levels, but this is what he's adding in this last paragraph is that in the Oymek Chayfetz Hashem, okay, what's the Oymek Chayfetz Hashem? The Rotzen of Hashem, the Chayfetz Hashem, which he spoke about earlier, which is limitless and unlimited, is that no matter whether they're worthy or not worthy, but in the Oymer Chayfetz, it's Gonos and Kol, it's concealed and included in that Ava, that they Taka are worthy. And on that level is where the Melchema against Amalek goes. Amalek is going to say, yeah, well, maybe not worthy. So you want to say, well, okay, Anachanami, maybe we're not. So that's on the external, like we said, right? Halachas Yaakov is that they look like that. Mm-hmm. But internally, in the pnimius of Klal Yisrael, they taka are worthy. And that's why we need the Melchama against Amalek. And that's why ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not nosi upon him.
So is the Ava without Siba now?
The Ava is still without Siba. But because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that made Klal Yisrael in this way, that they're going to be the Ru'uyim Tamid. Because the Maisa, where is it coming from? It's coming from the Nishmas Yisrael, which is Mamish Nishimas Pivsh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're Chelek Alei Kamimal. It has nothing to do with Maisim ultimately. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that. So really, the answer to the question of Lama Yisrael Hashem Panam Yisrael is that Taina is only based on Maisim. How could you play favorites? Look, they're no better than anyone else. Right, so the answer to that is that no, they are better. There's no question on why did you make them better. Is that you can't ask? Yeah, it's like, why are you being so nice to them? Look what they're look how they're no better. The answer is no, but pnimis hadvarim. That's why it's gonas in that ava, that limitless ava. Which has no Siba, let's just say it has Siba. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu was Beichik Kal Yisrael? That's just the way, it's part and parcel of the existence. Yeah.
Okay, second question. When we speak about the fact that Hashem loves us, are we able to say that Hashem loves us? Or do we mean that there is a Hanhoga which is apparent in this Bria, which we interpret as Ava?
Okay, so. If I'm understanding your question, right, your question is stemming from attributing emotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Attributing anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, the answer to that is, you know, we have permission to speak with the Lashonis of the Pesukim. You know, so if the Pasuk says, you know, V'oyhav es Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, so we have permission to speak like that. We have to be foolish if we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ava is anything like ours as far as experience goes, as far as the what that Ava looks like, what that Ava, you know, again, specifically, especially since we're talking about this Ava which has absolutely no Siba, which we have no connection to such an Ava ever, like, that was the whole piece over here, right? So, it should be a pasha de cheshbon, a pasha de calculation. But yeah, when we speak, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chachma, his gevura, all the different attributes that we attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we attribute those hanhagas, we attribute those things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been megala them to us, and we just see taitsa'os that we can say by a human being would come from those midos. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has those midos, but in such an oifen, in such a way that we have no ability to understand. So it's just really abstract wording in that sense. Okay, we're right. We're, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Okay, we can't experience that. The truth of the matter is, if we think about it, right, even with people, emotions aren't experienced the same way. Right? We have there's a general, or even the way you see the world, you know, the vision and sight and hearing. Like, everyone hears things and sees things in different ways. It's all the brain translating messages and stimuli, and we don't 100% have the same experience as each other. Kol Shekhen, we can't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is experiencing kibayachol, what we discuss and what we talk about here. Okay, any other questions? I think we'll stop here instead of starting another piece. But yeah, so wait. So next week we already switched the clock, right?
Right.
On Thursday night we will close this week. Okay. All right. So we have to. I'll send out an email with the new time if they figure out a new time. And everyone should have a good Vach. This week is just mentioning it on Sunday night. Tomorrow night, Monday, is the Yahrzeit of the Leshem. Leshem's Chashuva time. And have a good Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisa. Okay, let's say it. A good Vach. Reb Shmuel, it's good to see you. I mean, I saw you for a split second at least.
You do, Rabbeinu.
Oh, gosh.
That's your call.
Okay.